This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, good afternoon, Bo.
Man, good afternoon to you too, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. You know, it's just go time, right?
It is.
We're getting into this time of year, and things are crazy, and of course, we had a great event we'll talk about shortly in the shop, but things are wild, things are wacky, pipes are being smoked, working on new blends, rushing to get a few fun and interesting things out, and things are good, man. Yeah.
That's good.
What's going on in your world?
Oh, man, I had a great morning, actually got a chance to get out there and enjoy some of the leaves changing, a couple years ago.
A lot of times that doesn't happen here, but this year we're getting some foliage.
It's real pretty. So when I first moved into my house, and actually right before my first child was born, I planted a tree in the back of my yard. I don't think the judge was there.
You planted like a maple or
a
something?
Maple tree. Yeah, that's right.
Those are pretty.
One of those red maple trees, just because, very pretty. It also added kind of some privacy because it kind of covered this area where the neighbor's porch was like looking directly into our yard.
Yeah, yeah.
And unfortunately, it's grown very well.
But you killed it.
Well, no. the branches have now started to like go over into the neighbor's yard because it is like right there, and they're peeking over the fence. And so now I'm kind of in this unique position.
Do you do some pruning or what?
Exactly. And so I think I'm going to do my best to actually chop off all branches heading to his house, and hopefully that won't ruin the aesthetic of the entire thing.
So
working on that enjoying my pipe along the way. Of course, I wasn't able to enjoy my pipe this last past week.
You were sick as a dog.
No,
and then your family got sick.
So this is the thing. And actually, if listeners may notice, my voice sounds much better this week than it did last week. And that is because I am all better now. And in fact, during the Jackson Pipe Night, I was all better then, but I brought it and gave it to my wife and my kids.
The old gifting of the family crud.
Man, it hit my wife especially hard on the night of the Jackson Pipe Night. And so, you guys with kids, or y'all folks with kids out there, y'all know how this is. Like, if your spouse gets sick, it's not like you can just like, okay, here you go, baby. Here's the soup and everything else. Like, no, you still have to take care of the kids so that she can rest. So it's one of those things that, like, so I was homebound, taking care of the wife and kids. My hope was that I could get the kids down early enough and then catch on the back end, because I know we had some listeners that showed up and showed
out. And they did, yeah.
And I really wanted to be there for it, but unfortunately, my 3-year-old was not on board with that plan. And as I understand it, she is still awake. So this is just kind of the way
when the nap happens, it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be amazing. But no, tell me about it, man, because I look forward to this event all year. I was actually this weekend looking at my pipes thinking like, oh man, I'm so...
I know, right? And then it didn't work out. You were looking forward to coming in, making a good time. Yeah, it was great. Of course, the annual Jackson Pipe Night happened last Thursday, and it was awesome. Had folks from several places, New Orleans. The winner of the contest is our good friend Rylan Brown, came all the way from Little Rock, Arkansas, down just for that one night, and competed and won. That was so great. Made 49 minutes, and that was cool. So it was just really, really a lot of fun. Had a great time. He brought us a couple of gifts. I've got this pile of things that we need to discuss on the live show.
Ooh.
That we just can't get to right now because I keep forgetting to bring them to the studio.
Well,
so in the very near
perhaps,
future, that's gonna we'll figure that out.
Perhaps we can figure that out on air here in just a few minutes, even. How that can happen very, very soon.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll talk about that
in a second. But keep your time.
Yeah, but we just had a fantastic time. Good turnout this year, man. Live music by Dylan Lovett, which was always great.
Oh yeah, so, yeah. Great musician.
Yeah,
local
but
musician.
We had a really excellent turnout. Folks brought food, and it was a lot of fun. Interesting feedback on the blend that I created for this contest.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Well, it's one of those things. Every single year, if you make a non-aromatic, the aromatic people complain. If you make a aromatic, the English blend smokers complain, and on and on. And so, finally, I was like, we're gonna go down the middle here, and we made a Virginia Burley with some unflavored Black Cavendish, and so very, very neutral, extremely light.
Interesting.
Not a whole lot to it, to be honest with
you.
And it was one of those blends I didn't expect people to gravitate towards as far as something they really liked, and frankly, they didn't.
Yeah, I was about to say.
It was just very very, very airy, not particularly interesting or sophisticated, but it worked good for a slow smoke blend. I figured times this year would be a little lower, and they were. So Ryland won at 49 minutes. Did a great job. But a lot of times, you know, we'll have times on up into 50 minutes, over an hour.
Oh, well
you know,
past
stuff,
the hour
yeah,
mark.
Stuff like that.
I'm kind of curious. Where was kind of the median? Like, where were the majority of people dropping out?
Yeah, it was early 30s. Yeah, early 30s.
Dude, minutes, I could have placed this year.
Yeah, like 20s, early 30s. It was right in there. And
I know I was talking down my game leading up to it, but since I wasn't actually able to go, man, I would have won, man.
Well, we had one person go out. Within the minute that he's a new pipe smoker, good friend of the shop.
Somebody has to.
New pipe smoker, good friend of the shop named Doug. And Doug, he got his first match lit. It immediately went out after he put it to it, and then the second match, the head broke on it, and so it was he was just done. A good sport though. But after that, you know, everyone, I think the first person that went out was maybe 6 or 7 minutes after that, and respectable, did great, and we had a good time. So it was cool. The folks, of course, from Savinelli came, and they presented some gorgeous pipes for this event. I was actually not familiar with this pipe. It's the Professor, done by Savinelli. It's a very...
We should have talked about that Professor archetype.
Could have talked about that. Yeah, incredible pipe. It's just a real slim line, straight billiard. I think it's inspired by Albert Einstein kind of thing. But just a gorgeous pipe. Retails for $210 and just really, really beautiful. Of course, Ryland, we had another pipe that was part of it as well that the Squire pitched in. It was a Savinelli, one of the artisan pipes, handmade, 100% handmade, Linea artisan. Just a beautiful straight grain all the way around, and Ryland took that one home, and so really a lot of fun. Sold a bunch of Savinellis and had a good time. So it was great.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, it was good.
And congratulations to Ryland for that. That's awesome, man. Like, so the general crowd. I mean, did we have a couple listeners show up?
We did. Of course, Ryland came, and our friend Michael Riddell came from came from New Orleans, which was cool, and some local guys as well.
So. Always love when the NOLA folks show up.
I know. It was really good. Mark VV was going to come, but he wasn't able to make it. Had some last minute family stuff pop up. A lot of really meaningful time as well. We had, of course, this past year. If you've listened closely to Country Squire Radio, you know one of our best friends and dearest members of our community, Jack Harper, passed away. And so we did. I kind of kept this under the hood. We kind of surprised people with this, but we did a special kind of thing honoring him. We actually. Had Jack's wife Susan come to the shop, and we honored her a little bit, and then we found, I had forgotten this, but we found some audio of Jack, and you can actually go back and listen to this yourself.
I think it was Russ Hicks actually who pointed it out to
us. Russ, yeah. And so we back in 2016, the fall of 2016, we did an episode on Country Squire Radio called "The Long and Short of It," and it was about. It was about the long smoke, slow smoke competition, right? And so we had Russ on there talking about some of his thoughts, and then our second guest on there was Jack Harper, and Jack came up and got on mic and was talking about his how his he prepared for the slow smoke, what his experiences were, and of course he the reason we got him on there, he did an hour and 18 minutes in the slow, which is just phenomenal.
It's incredible.
It's just a really, really good time, and so. And so that was wonderful, and we thought, okay, well, let's do something special with that audio. A lot of people had forgotten we even have that, and so we busted it out, and Susan came that evening, and we actually played that entire interview with Jack there live at the Country Squire, and that was really special. Wow. And then we capped it all off, of course, by naming. We named the Slow Smoke Competition our annual competition after Jack Harper.
Man.
And so it is now the Jack Harper Memorial Slow Smoke Competition at the Country Squire. And we're very thankful we had the opportunity to do that. So miss Jack a lot, and it was just very very appropriate.
Very
so,
special, man.
Yeah, really special.
Man, so, well, what a great way to honor him, too. I mean, he was... He was a gentleman and a scholar in every sense of the word.
He was.
And an accountant, too. And that comes through back in the...
I know. He was incredibly meticulous about a lot. You know, I think him and Russ kind of bonded over that.
That so they did,
really,
man.
Really pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, hey, so coming up here, you know, we got Thanksgiving right around the corner. And we've got, so, you know, we got the Thanksgiving custom cob competition with all the details up. Now, you know, we've said before, we got to get those in. And what we've seen in the past is that a lot of y'all get them in kind of last minute,
right?
And so, like, we're getting down to the last minute. Y'all got to go ahead and get those into us quick. So if you haven't yet gotten yours in, there is still time. But
what's our drop dead date on that?
To hurry. The drop dead date is they need to be in by November 12th.
Okay.
November 12th.
A week from today. Well, if you're watching live, it is. So
yes.
That is Monday, November 12th, 2018.
That's right.
That's right.
Okay. You got some days. Get them into the Country Squire. The address and all the rules can be found on our Facebook page as well as our Twitter account.
Yep.
It's the top pinned post on both of those social media services sites, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So get those in. We want to see what y'all got. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, Thanksgiving themed corn cob pipe, of course, sponsored by Missouri Meerschaum. We do this. It's a new tradition. We try to do this every year. And the pipe has to be smokable, and we would love some creativity there. Other than a smokable pipe, you have to use the original bowl. But other than that, game on.
Let's see what you got.
Yep.
It's going to be fun.
Yep.
We're looking forward to that. All right. Before we jump into it, we do have kind of a big announcement. I think it's time to let people know about it.
I guess we're going to do this.
Okay, so we this last past year, it's funny. Actually, just recently, I was pulling, you know, all our stats from this last past year and taking a look at, you know, just the, what has happened in the community and the life of the show. And, yeah, I mean, we've had such a big boom this last past year. It's been amazing just how many people have been tuning into the show, finding the show.
Joined our community.
Joining the community. It has been, I mean, honestly, it has been incredible to see. And it's one of those things that you kind of feel it, but then when you actually look at the numbers, you're like, oh my goodness, y'all are out there. big time. Which is so amazing because this year has very much been a year of transition for Country Squire Radio. There's been a lot of big changes, about a big life changes, especially for 50% of the show.
Points at me, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, with you know, the marriage and the honeymoon, which of course, you know, impacts kind of recording schedule, the move, which impacted recording
shop
schedule.
Moving, yeah.
Just like the whole new shop setup and everything else.
Yep.
It's been very interesting for us to kind of figure out and weave what the future of the show looks like as we kind of enter into this new phase. And so part of the changes that have occurred in order to kind of, you know, meet the challenges and meet the realities that we are in right now is that we needed to move the live show. Now, for most, the vast majority of people that listen are not necessarily listening to the live show, but those of you who do tune in, we love y'all so much.
And you're a huge part of our, the show. Of what we do. Yeah. I mean, what, you know, obviously, you know, so many more folks download the podcast through their favorite, you know, podcast player, watch us on YouTube, you know, catch us reruns or whatever. But a big piece of the show is the live show. It's
Absolutely.
Our interaction with you. It's our ability to come together once a week. You've let us join your family, your weekly routine and rhythms and all that. So we're very thankful for that.
And we're also aware of, you know, the impact that has for when we change the time and the fact that, you know, we've seen the response. We've seen a lot of you say, man, I used to love this, but I can't do this at this time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We've seen a few of you who've said, you know, oh, this is great. I can actually catch this now while I'm at work or whatever it may be. Or, you know, if you're like Russ, then you're getting busted by your boss for having headphones on, that sort of thing. But regardless, in order to kind of maintain a live show, we had to move the time. Now, another portion of that, especially during the move, was that we had to record somewhere because obviously if we recorded in the shop, the walls would be falling down around us or being put up around us as the case may be.
That's right, yeah.
And so we for the last several weeks, we have been broadcasting from Podastery Studios, this very high quality setup with
coffee sacks, up in the thing. Exquisite burlap bags.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's beautiful.
It's incredible.
Dude, this is high-end equipment.
This
is professionalism to the max. Why on earth would we want anything else than professionalism to the max? I'll tell you why. Authenticity. We want to take the show and bring it back to the shop. Yes, that's right. Starting next week,
we're going back, baby.
We'll be back in the shop. And not only that, because we'll be broadcasting at noon every single Monday at the shop, That means that you, those of you who are local, or those of you that are able to make your pipe pilgrimage, can actually come and join us for the recording of Country Squire Radio.
That's right.
On a weekly basis, every single time that we've got a live show, it will be at the shop. The shop will be open. You'll actually, you know, with we'll kind of figure this out as we go along.
Because it's a little terrifying.
I'm a little
right?
nervous about yeah. it, but you'll actually be able to see folks, you know, walking behind us. What would be like Good Morning America type situation?
That's right. Yeah.
Come with your signs.
People holding up their signs, hopefully not doing anything too. Y'all too lewd or offensive, yeah. but behind us, you know. Now it's going to be great. So we're taking our 12 o'clock Central show, and we're moving it to the Country Squire.
That's
now,
right.
Now what we've done historically, every time we've had a show, it's been in kind of a closed environment, you know, both
controlled
like control, you know, yes. a lot of the variables and stuff like that.
That's my word, right there.
We're going to the shop. And business is going to be open. And we're going to have fun.
What have we done?
Yeah. It's going to be great. Well, what's so cool, a lot of times folks will roll through town on a Monday. They'll make their pilgrimage.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
they're, you know, have a road trip through the weekend, and they'll swing through Jackson on Monday. And frankly, what's exciting is this is going to give you the opportunity to sit in on the live show.
Mm.
And so now if you're rolling through town, you can be a part of what we're doing. And it just adds a new element that we're really fired up about.
Absolutely. Yep. It's going to be interesting. Y'all are coming along with us for the ride. Those of you who are able to tune in for the live show, and for those of you who are able to make your pilgrimage, or if you're looking for a time to make your pilgrimage, we got a good time for you. So it should be a lot of fun. We'll be also doing a Squire Select that day, so we'll be drinking in the middle
of
the day.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's going to be great.
Isn't that exciting?
It's going to be great. Nothing's going to go wrong. Nothing will spill.
At all.
Everything will be amazing. It's going to be fun.
What a disaster.
But of course, you can tune into the live show at countrysquireradio.com. That, as John David said, is noon Central Standard Time. Check your local listings for your broadcast time. Or John David can tell you, because he's got it memorized.
Noon Central, 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Pacific.
Thank you. All right. Man, we've got an awesome show this week. And, you know, I love when we get the opportunity to do this kind of thing, because this is a show, a subject that was directly recommended by a listener.
Recently?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think last week, I believe I mentioned on the show that while I was in D.C., got a chance to run into listener Wesley and speak briefly as he was on his way to work and having breakfast and everything. And he mentioned that one of the shows that he would really like us to see, one of the topics he would like to see us cover, is Stanwell. And I was like, you know what? At first, I was like, have we never talked about Stanwell? And I looked in the archives, and we haven't.
We haven't.
Yeah.
Obviously, we've mentioned Stanwell here and there on the show, but never had a dedicated, pipe carver manufacturer episode based on the historic brand. Yeah.
So this is it, man. For Wesley, we're talking about Stanwell this week.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Of course, taking a dive deeper into one of the most, famous, well-recognized brands of the 20th century pipe world. And, of course, it's about time we do Stanwell. So, we love looking at these. There's so many incredible stories behind a lot of these carvers, a lot of these pipe manufacturers. Mm. We've talked about the origins of Dunhill moving from making, what was he doing, like buggy whips, and into the pipe world. And, all the incredible family stuff with Savinelli, Peterson, Cap'n Peterson, and the list goes on and on. Even some of the smaller houses, that more premium pipes like Costello, just interesting stuff there. But Stanwell, of course, is prolific, right? It's all over the world. You can find Stanwells at any pipe shop worth its salt. Of course, it has a story as well. So back in World War II, that's where Stanwell kind of got its start, and there was a necessity behind it. They were filling a need that that was very much there, that no one was able to do at the time. At the time, pipe making was not a thing in Denmark. Now, if you can imagine Denmark, the home of incredible European pipe making tradition, at the time during World War II, it wasn't really that big of an industry. Of course, over the years you have some tobacco, industry based out of Denmark, but a lot of that came after World War II. That real steady tradition. And really, at the time, England was the epicenter of the pipe making world. You had some families in Italy. You had your core group in southern France that has always been there, whether large or small. But it's been kind of simmering
from an industry standpoint.
From an industry standpoint, and then the epicenter, of course, was that English pipe making tradition. Even at that point, you know, you had Peterson there, and just all these incredible brands that we know and love. And so, you know, you've got World War II, and in April of 1940. The Reich came through and conquered Denmark, and so all of a sudden, Denmark, of course, is not accessible to the outside world. Imports from allied countries are just not available. Even materials from other parts of the German Empire at the time just weren't easy to get into the country of Denmark. And so, obviously, there were lots of problems. Pipe smoking and pipe availability was at the very, very bottom of the list.
Wow, yeah.
for the average Danish person in 1940. But, for folks, tobacco was a daily part of their life, even before and during the war. And so there was a need there. You know, folks are like, well, we can't get briar. You know, if briar is a product typically of Southern Europe, you can't get it. You know, they're not able to import it. And so you've got this big supply issue once the existing pipes there kind of filtered out of the system. And a lot of folks were looking for pipes to smoke. So enter a guy named Paul Nielsen. There's probably a Danish way of pronouncing that I'm not even going to try.
Paul Nielsen.
It's probably closer to that. Our friend Morten Sandvig can tell us that.
I don't know who that is.
The artist formerly known as Morten Sandevi.
Oh, Morten Sandevi, yeah.
The listener formerly known. So he came into this. He actually had a woodworking or like a wood products company that supplied just a whole bevy of things that wood implements and just different products that were available to consumers at the time, and kind of was able to make a name for himself in this scarce supply during the early 40s there. So he was like, we've got to, people want pipes. They want pipes, but we can't get briar. So what are we going to do? Well, he started making pipes out of beech wood. Now, the beech tree, is not necessarily known for its, premium pipe making qualities. And so
I'm sorry, beech wood?
Beech wood. Yeah. And that is from the beech tree.
Okay, so this is not tree wood that is washed up on the beach.
No, yeah, it's actually a tree. Yeah. And so the
palm tree.
It's not. It's called beech wood.
Interesting. I've literally never heard of a beech tree before.
Yeah, it's. They're interesting trees. They're just kind of native to that area. That's what they had available, and so they weren't able to make the briar pipes, but this is what they had. And so he started, Paul with his company started cranking out some pipes made of beech. And this is a very easy to burn wood. It's not particularly heat friendly, and so you had these folks had to smoke it very slowly.
Wow!
Right? They had to smoke it, very intentionally. It would get super hot, almost like a clay pipe, So you had to be careful holding it in your hands. Be very deliberate to build some cake and things of that nature. But
was the risk pretty high of it spontaneously combusting?
Of a burnout. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So, burnouts were common, but it's what they had. And so, they were a little less expensive, but it was, something that they could, reliably, make and then consume tobacco with. And so, you can still occasionally find these on the market, which is kind of cool. They're expensive. But the, KYRINGE, I don't know how to say that. Kyringe. I don't know how you say that, but that was his company. That was Nielsen's company, and so these pipes were stamped that, and some big collectors have found those through the years. In 1945, after the war, you've got victory in Europe, and the market immediately starts to open up, and all this reconstruction and everything. But briar becomes available again. as imports from Southern Europe and then premium pipe making supplies are available. And so so Nielsen had been making these pipes because they couldn't import anything nice from places like England. Well, you know, just because the war's ended now doesn't mean he's going to just close his company. He wants his new pipe making company to compete with the best English pipes in the world.
Right. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And so he calls his company. It's so interesting to me. His name is Paul Nielsen, P-O-U-L Nielsen, so a very Danish name. And he names his company something that has nothing to do with that, and he calls it Stanwell.
Which sounds like such a family name.
It's a family name. You think of Stanwell. He did some research. He wanted something that just evoked that thought of premium English products, something a premium English, good that just it kind of had that mystique. He was playing into the motif there of kind of a old gentlemanly thing, and Stanwell just sounded like such an English name that had some strength to it, and he literally picked that name because of that. He wanted something that was going to be recognizable in competition with the English pipe making world.
I'm curious, was he trying to cover up the fact that he was Danish?
I don't think it was a cover up thing. I think it was more of introducing it into the market in kind of a way that was a little more palatable at the time.
And along the same lines of the brands you're accustomed to, that I guess I can kind of see that.
Yeah. Well, and what's interesting is, of course, we'll talk about it in a moment. The Stanwell, even though, yes, they've got this kind of English name, and they even changed the logo, was even very British. They wanted this horse and carriage thing with these top hats and all this kind of stuff.
It's
and
British. So, extremely British.
And to this day, that's Stanwell's logo. They've got this horse and carriage thing, and I don't know. It's just kind of fascinating.
Wait, is the horse wearing the top hat?
No.
I'm sorry. Just the idea of a horse pulling a carriage while wearing a top hat is about the most British thing that I can possibly think of.
Well, right, with now. A monocle, maybe?
Yes, with a monocle, right. Exactly. Drinking warm beer and apologizing for no pantries. That seems the most
constantly
British.
Apologize.
And again, our apologies to our listeners in Britain.
You just did something very British.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes.
After making fun of people, hey, which is very American.
They didn't bring back the War of the Roses this year. That happened last year. Where's the War of the Roses this year?
Well, I don't know. I think they declared a victor. But anyway. So anyway, on to say, they created this company that kind of had a an English feel to it, but the pipes were unashamedly Danish. They were very different. Of course, we look at Danish pipes on this side of the 20th century, and we think of Danish pipes as being more organic, almost inspired by sweeping curves, following a lot of grain, not very set in stone as far as their shapes go, very almost vegetal in a way that very inspired by nature kind of thing. Just very just very different. The Danish pipes have a look to them that we all know, even though sometimes they're hard to describe. And so, the brand took off. It took off under this name. Matter of fact, it got so big, of course, it started competing with English pipes in the European market. Paul Nielsen changed his name. He changed his surname to Stanwell.
There you go.
And, of course, he was just such a lover of the craft and what he was doing, and then changed his name. So,
kind of like you. Instead, you're going to drop the coal and become John David Country Squire. That would be the equivalent.
That's one option,
right?
Yeah, John David Squire.
John David Squire. Actually, that's not bad.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah,
yeah. we'll focus group that and see how play, and then if that goes well, then we'll see.
That's good.
Just really interesting. Over the years after this happened, of course, you're getting now into the 50s and 60s, Nielsen's, then Stanwell's factory, had become a kind of this hub for pipe making creativity. They were a resource for Danish pipe makers. Obviously, we think of people like Sixten Iversen, Jess Chenoweth, nowadays Tom Eltang. A lot of these incredible carvers took advantage of the Stanwell ability to you know, get resources, do things like sandblasting, you know, get access to some more premium, you know, ebonites, bamboos, things of this nature. And so there was a lot of collaboration between these really famous Danish carvers and then the Stanwell factory. Matter of fact, the carvers, they would make, of course, these beautiful shapes that that we recognize today. And they would, you know, Stanwell would pay them for the rights to those shapes. And so they would take a, let's say, a Sixten Iversen shape or a Lars Iversen shape, and they would actually figure out a way to mass produce that shape basically by turning it on a lathe or in a machine and then hand finishing the pipe, which we know today. And so interesting, you know, they would have these shapes that over the years were inspired by all these incredible carvers, which are really beautiful. And that carried on for some time. The collaboration was really important. And then it went into the 70s, kind of this golden age of Danish pipe making. Stanwell, and of course, we all think of the products that were cranked out by Ben Wade, which we've talked about before on the shop. Just these incredible freehands, lots of organically shaped pipes that, you know, experimenting with new materials and things of that nature. And, you know, some of the best pipes in the world were made in that 1970s decade. Just beautiful, beautiful pieces. Again, Stanwell took some of these famous shapes and did what a lot of carvers, carving houses do now. You know, you think of the Savinelli, you know, Brebbia. These folks, they're turning pipes in a lot of times on a lathe or machine, but they're all hand finishing these pipes. So these stems are hand cut. The pipes are hand stained. The final sanding is all done by hand. And so that was kind of their model. So it just became synonymous with an incredible value over the years.
Right.
So very much in the line of a Savinelli, or, you know, again, Brebbia, Nording, a lot of these pipe carving houses that just offered a lot of pipe for a very reasonable price. Although it was considered a premium pipe, is considered a premium pipe. It's very accessible to kind of your everyday man. And so they chugged along through the years, of course, cranking out a lot of hits with their pipe making stuff. Various shapes, some of those Danish inspired shapes are still very coveted and sometimes hard to get now because Stanwell makes less pipes than they used to. Obviously, one of their most famous shapes of recent years has been the Hans Christian Andersen series, which the churchwarden pipe enthusiasts in the community love. This is I think we actually mentioned it recently on the show, but the Hans Christian Andersen series, it's a churchwarden convertible to a regular size pipe, which is extremely you know, popular. You know, these tend to be a little more expensive pipes, you know, retailing somewhere in the 150 to 175 range US dollars, but just an incredible value. And they come in a filtered and a non-filtered version, so just beautiful pipes and really you know, really good. But that, you know, there's a convenience factor there. You get a churchwarden pipe, but also
two for the price of one.
Yeah, it's just kind of nice. So because the pipe market has changed so much in recent years, you know, Stanwell, they actually, although, you know, they still make tons of pipes, great, incredible name, and the quality is certainly still there, they decided in 2010 to move their factory from Denmark. This was a big deal, caused a lot of stir, but they moved their factory from Denmark to Italy. And that was due to a lot of reasons, but, you know, I think one of the biggest factors there was the ability to start getting closer to some of the source products. It was more of a logistical thing, you know, and they were just it allowed them to be able to compete better as far as, you know, collaborating with other pipe making houses and things like that. And so in 2010 they moved their factory to Italy. And so now Stanwell pipes are Danish inspired.
Wow,
they're not Danish made,
yeah.
But it was the last pipe making factory in Scandinavia.
How about that?
And so that was, you know, it was a big loss. But at the same time, we think of Stanwell as a Danish pipe. It's a Danish inspired pipe. It's one of those brands that goes way back. We think about, you know, this is not the first time this has happened. We've got brands like Camoy that were originated in France, went to England. A lot of its you know, great history there, came back to France. You know, this is GBD similar. I mean, you've got you know, pipe brands that have done that before. But anyway, incredible pipe brand. You know, as far as I can tell, we carry Stainwells at the shop, and the quality has not changed. You know, from the at least you know from my perspective, I don't have one of the newer Stainwells, but all our Stainwell customers that have bought newer Stainwells made in Italy have been very happy. So so anyway, great pipes, incredible value, lots of beautiful shapes and finishes. I love some of their sandblasting too. It's really nice. So yeah, so that's Stainwell, man. Good kind of overview of you know, a well-known pipe making company in the 20th century that's still going strong.
Man, what a journey. Like, I almost feel like I just listened to How I Built This, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
what a great story. Kinda what cool. A great origin story, man. Do you actually, out of curiosity, in your what do you call it? I mean, obviously it's not a seller of pipes.
Collection
yeah. of pipes.
I have two.
Yours goes beyond a collection, let's be honest.
Well, like, you know, I try to be kind of good about this. I've got currently I have kind
of like a museum of pipes.
Well, no. I've probably owned in my life over 200 pipes, but I've whittled it down, and I've got, I don't know, maybe somewhere around 80 or 90. I've got a pretty firm one in, one out policy. So if I get a new pipe,
yep.
then I'm going to either gift one or sell it or do something with it, because I just don't need any more. I want things that I'm going to smoke, and you know, at some point you just feel shamed because of how many pipes and tobaccos you have. But I do.
Getting married will do that.
I know, right? Yeah. No. Exactly. So I do have a couple Stainwells that I really like. One is one of the newer ones, although I think it was still made in Denmark. It's the Trio. It's smooth, very beautiful Danish inspired billiard, real classic pipe. And then one is a kind of a pot shaped Stainwell from the, my best guess is early 80s, real beautiful pipe, ebonite stem, very classy shaping, lots of straight grain and things like that. And so it's one of my favorite flake pipes that I turn to pretty regularly. So great
stuff,
pipes, man. Yeah.
Well, an amazing company to learn the history of with some good quality pipes. And you know, another great company that we love the history of and the great quality pipes that you get from them is our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
No, that's right. That's right. And you know, we've never really talked about the hardwood pipe.
What?
Made by Missouri Meerschaum. It's one of those
hardwood corn?
Well, because we think of, you know, corn cob pipe, and so many of their best sellers are obviously on the corn cob side.
They are known for it.
That's what their kind of wheelhouse is. But it's interesting. We talk about Stainwell, the beechwood pipes they make. Well, a lot of American traditional pipe making stuff has been in pipes that are made of things other than briar.
Yeah.
Right? You think about the everyman that was looking for just what he had around him and the ability to make pipes from the material that he had access to. Of course, our friends at Missouri Meerschaum for decades now have been making maple and cherry pipes that are really, really beautiful. And so, of course, today we are talking about the Ozark Mountain Hardwood Pipe. The Ozark Mountain Hardwood Pipe from Missouri Meerschaum is a popular option in our series of mid-sized pipes. It comes in two colors and shapes, maple oval straight or a cherry Rob Roy bent. Both pipes come with a black bit. The Ozark Mountain is a super value for a genuine hardwood pipe. Mm. And, of course, just beautiful pipes. They have the traditional black bit that you think of and a nice, generous, medium-sized bowl. So very classy, something if you don't quite have the guts to go to a corncob pipe for whatever reason, you might...
Don't have the guts!
Well, no, everyone should because it's such a good smoker. But, you know, if you want something that looks a little more traditional, maybe or a little more recognizable.
But at a really, really, really good price.
But an excellent price. Yeah. The Ozark Mountain Hardwood Pipe is available for $6.99 on Missouri Meerschaum's website. You can get it straight from the source at corncobpipe.com. And you know, we've never talked about the hardwood pipes from Missouri Meerschaum. So if you have one, if you smoke one, tweet that picture into us. We'd love to see you smoking that pipe. We'll get that back out. And, of course, you know, let Missouri Meerschaum know that you heard about them from our show.
That's right, man.
Yeah.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week comes in from listener Rosh. Rosh has to say, Bo and John David, are there pipe designs that are easier to smoke than others? Maybe ones that beginners should really gravitate to.
Yeah.
Conversely, are there any shapes that would be kind of considered more advanced and would require more experience? Again, that's from listener Rosh.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of folks, we've talked about this before, how the church warden pipe, the, you know, kind of Lord of the Rings stuff brought a lot of people into the pipe world. And that is good. But honestly, a church warden pipe is not the best pipe to start on. You know, it's clumsy. It's hard to clean. The draw is different. A lot of the bowls are, you know, too small.
The church warden should be really more about the marketable boss of a video game. Right, hear me out on this.
Okay.
Like in a video game, a lot of times they put in front of you, here's the massive dragon, or here's like the zombie king, or whoever, like the big person you're supposed to fight at the end of the video game. Like he's on the box art, he's on all the promotional stuff. But when you get into the game, you don't go up and like try to slay the dragon. You gotta fight through some goblins and stuff first.
You start the little orcs and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So in many respects, the church warden is that. You gotta fight your way through it. You gotta kind of work your mechanics.
You're 5.5-inch, straight billiard. Is the entry level goblin
exactly?
Right?
Exactly. Yes.
No. So, it very interesting. Comparison there, buddy.
And spot on.
It was fantastic. I'll give you that. A medium sized bowl is typically where you want to start. I think. Most people are smoking their pipe because they're wanting something to relax. They're going to take a little time. They're not doing it for a quick smoke break necessarily. Large bowls, occasionally real large bowls, can be maybe a little too hard to keep lit. If you're not aware of how to puff them because they just have so much volume of tobacco, that can be a little frustrating. So a medium-sized bowl, which is a real kind of conical shape, I think is helpful. Other than that, folks argue, do you want a bent pipe or a straight pipe? I'm a straight pipe smoker for the most part, although I do have bent pipes that I love. But, I do think for a new pipe smoker, a medium-sized bowl with a straighter stem, maybe not a purely straight stem, although that's good, but a straighter stem, those pipes are going to smoke a little drier. And so might help you to keep it lit easier. That's my experience. One thing, though, a lot of folks that just smoke bent pipes, they really like a bent pipe because they can see what's going on in the bowl a little better. Mm-hmm. And so that might help a new smoker too.
That's a good observation.
The main thing is just having a pipe that has a, kind of a medium sized bowl, nothing crazy going on. You want something that's going to fit in your hand comfortably. And the best way to know if this is going to happen is to obviously get your hands on it before you buy the pipe. And so for some people that's not possible, but if you are buying your pipe online, ask the retailer for dimensions. I wouldn't get a very short pipe. I wouldn't get a very long pipe. You want something in kind of that 5 to 6 inch, 5.5-6 inch range as far as length, and I think that's your sweet spot. So that's where I'd point you, Rosh.
There you go. The great question. Rosh actually sent in two questions, so we'll have his second question next week.
Okay, great.
But hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, be sure to send that in to us. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Quick fire questions. All right, man. We got some quick fire questions coming in from the listener formerly known as Morton Sandevi.
Poor guy.
Well, we love you so much, brother. All right. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
ABBA or the Bee Gees?
Wow. The Bee Gees.
The Bee Gees.
Yeah. The Bee Gees.
With no disrespect
to
ABBA.
Not super familiar with either, to be honest, but I'm going to go with the Bee Gees.
I don't know that they're really either. Like, we would not be the target audience, I don't think.
For either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, between the two, you got to go with the Bee Gees.
Okay.
You're not going to know either of these. Game of Thrones or Black Sails?
Okay, I'm going to go with Game of Thrones. I've read the first book and a
you
half.
You have?
I've read the first book and a half.
You didn't tell me this.
In Game of Thrones. I got about halfway through the second book, and it was just, there were just so many people dying. It was kind of...
You need to get all the way through the end of the third book. If you want to drop off, then that's fine, but you have to get to the end of the third book.
I don't know, man. It's like there's just no stability at all. It's kind of... there's a lot going on that maybe I just didn't want to. I don't know. It didn't fit me the way I thought it would.
You got pretty far in for a book and a half.
No, I did. Yeah.
The first book. And I don't read, but I just consumed that thing. Like it just captured
great.
My mind.
I found a series I like recently called the Ryuria Chronicles.
Oh, cool.
And it is really, really similar in feel to Game of Thrones. kind of raw, but not nearly as raw. There's not as much, you know, kind of
sex and
adult
violence.
Yeah, adult, you know, themed stuff. There's some of that, but not nearly the,
sure.
the amount. But I've
not HBO level.
Well, you know, yeah. I mean, I've worked my way through probably about six of those books, and those have been good. It's similar feel, lots of Warring Kingdoms, Winter is Coming kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's I'll go with Game of Thrones because I don't know what the heck Black Sails is.
Fair enough. I mean, so Black Sails, I still maintain that season 2 and 3 of Black Sails is some of the best television ever. But if you look kind of holistically, there's a lot more Game of Thrones to go after. So
yeah.
Game of Thrones has better individual episodes, but as an entire season,
yeah.
Black Sails is, it's Starz's attempt to compete with Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But what they did was they took the Treasure Island children's book and gave it kind of an HBO-esque prequel story.
Yeah.
Of, you know, Long John Silver, how he became Long John Silver. So when you first meet him, he still got both of his legs.
Yeah.
You meet his captain. But then they also incorporate a lot of Golden Age, like historical pirates in there and give them kind of a unique spin, let's say.
No, that's good.
And so it's really, if you're into pirates,
yeah.
as you know, I am.
Right.
You'll enjoy it. But the second and third season of Black Sails are phenomenal. The first and last are not as good. All right. Shay or Fidel? Fidel.
Okay. So, Mortine, I love you, but if it's going to be picking between Shay and Fidel Castro, I'm going to take a hard pass and say neither.
I'm going to. So here's what I'm going to do.
Let me ask you, Hitler or Stalin?
Right.
Like I'm going to take a hard pass and say, well, I'm thinking things that I can't say on Country Squire Radio, but the question is a very firm neither.
So I'm going to let my dyslexia goggles retell this one.
Okay.
Cher or Pharrell?
Share.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Share. Absolutely. If I could turn back time.
We did this weekend.
We did. Yeah, that happened. It was share day.
Yeah.
Share it with a friend. All right. Rebel or rebel scum?
Rebel scum.
You gotta have the rebel scum. You rebel scum. And then finally, rabbit or hare?
I don't think I've ever referred to a rabbit as a hare. Although hare may be like technically a different thing that I'm just not aware of.
Tortoise and the hare.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that. I go with rabbit.
It's interesting because we actually, my kids and I just had the story of the tortoise and the hare. So like that's more top of mind. But yeah, I think I'm going to use rabbit more often than that. So
no, that's good.
Absolutely. There you go. Rabbit. All right, Morton. There you go. Thanks so much for those quick fire questions. And hey, if you've got some quick fire questions for us, we'd love to see those in. Send those in at show@countrysquireradio.com.
Yep.
You know, it's interesting, the Game of Thrones thing. I've been helping out as a third host of the Tolkien TV Talk podcast about the upcoming, quote unquote, upcoming Lord of the Rings television series that Amazon's putting out.
Yeah.
Is going to come out basically as soon as Game of Thrones is over, then the Amazon series just happens to start. and it was funny because this last past episode that just came out today, we've had this long hiatus because we hadn't had any news. But this last best episode has a ton of news about the show. And then the one that's coming out in December, I'm really excited about because I basically get a chance to pitch what I think a good Game of Thrones or a good Lord of the Rings television series should be.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage everybody to check that out.
Okay,
Tolkien TV Talk.
That sounds cool.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man, we got some great listener feedback in. Let's see. These are all wonderful iTunes reviews. Okay, before actually I jump into the iTunes reviews, I got to give a shout out to BoyScout456.
Yeah.
Speaking of pirates, because BoyScout, we're not reading his reviews today because I have an order that I go down, and if I get it out of order, then I'm going to mess it up.
Yeah.
But in his review, he mentions that he can't wait to like play Sea of Thieves with the Squire Scallywags. And so I don't know who you are, Boy Scout, but like message me. Captain Jorvik is my Xbox handle. You are most welcome to join the Squire Scallywags. We're sailing on Tuesday night. We'd love to have you with us.
I'm very thankful for this. I'm also very lost. Yeah.
All right, man. We also got Spudzer. What did Spudzer have to say?
Spudzer on iTunes. He says, "Only the best. I'm a newish pipe smoker and found this podcast about a year ago. I'm hooked. My work allows me to listen to my headphones all the time, and I ran through all of the backlog I can. The show layout is perfect, and hosts are awesome. If you are a pipe smoker, this podcast is a must." Spudzer, thanks, man. We appreciate those words. Very generous.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We also had Writing Rave, who said, fun show. I've really come to enjoy and look forward to this podcast. The chemistry between the hosts is electric, and the information is always useful. Thank you so much. Yeah, those iTunes reviews are huge. We love getting those in. Man, I've been monitoring. I don't always do this. I did this particular week, especially because I probably won't be able to do this again once we start the new format.
Yeah, I know, right? It's going to be different.
But I've been monitoring the actual YouTube chat.
Yeah, good.
And so, first of all, everybody got a big kick out that I was here, and they immediately reminded me why I should not watch the YouTube chat, as they apparently are now planning to come to the shop during the live show dressed in Speedos to hang out behind us. Now, of course, this is all orchestrated by none other than Brian Levine, our frenemy over at Pipes Magazine.
Wow.
And the Pipes
Brian,
Magazine podcast.
A speedoed Brian Levine.
He's trying to destroy our audience. That's
you know
what? It is.
You know what? We've called out the hounds on me, right? The meme hounds. We've called out the hounds on Bo.
Yes, yes.
It's finally time we call out the hounds on Brian.
A speedoed Brian Levine.
A speedoed Brian Levine. Wow. I look, Brian. If you're gonna run with the big dogs, I mean, be prepared to take some licks, man.
Yeah.
Like, bring it. A speedoed Brian Levine. I would be honored.
The squires and pilgrims are ready with the memification. It's coming, Brian. It's coming for you.
I'm terrified and also really excited.
Yeah. But, yeah, let's keep it clean, guys.
Let's keep it clean.
As clean
let's
as possible.
Clean. Right.
Wow. Also, shout out to Typing Piper, who is tuning in for the live show first time.
Oh, so, that's great. Yeah. Man, fantastic. Thanks for joining us.
Also, they were trying to squeeze me for insider information on various tobacco release dates. We don't have that kind of information. We don't have that kind of information.
We
don't. One of us might, but we don't. Certainly not me.
Coming out soon, baby. Coming out soon.
So don't hit me up for information that I currently don't have and that we don't have. We as a unit together.
As a collective unit,
yeah,
right.
And that's all I'll say about that. All right, good stuff, man. Well, hey, look, I'm really excited. Next week is going to be a monumental episode
for us.
It'll
be great. Yeah, I'm really fired up about this. It'll be, this will present some new challenges, but I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be nerve-wracking. Let's be honest. It's, well, for me, it's going to be nerve-wracking.
For Bo, I'll have a lot of fun. You're going to be terrified.
I think Mark even mentioned in the live chat, he's like, oh, this will be great. This will give the chance for people to meet the Hurricane live on air.
I was about to say, maybe the Hurricane will swing by and, have a glass of whiskey with us at, 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it's over. You realize it's over if that happens. He probably would, though. That's
he's probably already at the
shop. He's probably there right now. Yeah.
Halfway through a fifth of Old Charter.
Man, it is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Guys, we also want to remind you, if you have not done so already, to pick up your Missouri Meerschaum pipe and get to customizing it and get it into the shop quickly.
Yeah, we're excited about that.
I will say this. If you, should I say this? Okay. If you're running tight on time and it looks like it may be a day late,
just let us know.
You need to let us know before the
date.
Before the 12th. You can't call us on like on the 13th and say, oh, it's coming in. Like,
yeah.
But if you call us before the 12th, I think we can make that work.
Yeah. No. That's right. Right. We failed to mention also, Bo, that of course the winner is going to get a beautiful handmade, customized trophy,
gluten-free,
free range, low carbon footprint trophy from the York factory. They will also much less important, but they also get an unopened 8-ounce bag of Esoterica Penzance.
Oh.
Unopened 8-ounce bag. That's from the Squire. And then one of our listeners actually has donated a few ounces rather of Stonehaven. It's not a closed package, but it is a few ounces of Stonehaven that will also be available to the winner. So anyway, proceeds from we'll auction off these pipes. Proceeds as per last time will go to the Ronald McDonald House, and we're very excited about that.
Absolutely. Yep. Can't wait to see what y'all come up with. It's going to be a good one. Again, if y'all want to join us next week for the live show, you can. CountrySquireRadio.com is the place to do it at noon Central Time. And of course, the other times are
1 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Pacific.
All that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com, where you, of course, can also find our social media information, where you can keep up with us throughout the week. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
And, of course, the show's handle is at Squire Radio. But once again, all that and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. All right, man.
Dude, good. I had fun.
That was a fun episode.
Yeah, it was
good.
Man. I'm gonna go smoke my Standwell this afternoon.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. This would be the day to do it.
I think so.
Yeah. You know, I probably shouldn't mention this so late in the show, but I did think about it the entire time. Actually, when meditating for this podcast, every single time that we've ever talked about Standwell, it always makes me think of Arrested Development, because of course their nemesis.
Oh, the competitor,
was
right?
The Standwells.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah.
And they had a shadow company, or a shell company,
right,
that was called Sit Poor, because it was the exact opposite of Standwell. So to throw them off, they called it Sit Poor or
that's
something
great.
Like that.
Oh, that's great.
Anyway, all right. Well, that's going to do it for us for this week's Man. Let's go have a day.
See you, brother.
Been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.